What's up, everyone? This is Vito Evans, and you're listening to another episode of Water Break. I'm joining the guys today to talk about my journey from playing college basketball to playing in the Drew League. If you want to hear more exciting sports content, you should continue to listen to the Water Break podcast. Let's get it started.
Hey, everyone. My name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thurlgood.
What's up, everybody?
We want to welcome you to Water Break. Here on our show, we are going to have conversations with each other, as well as with a variety of other guests who are just as involved and as passionate about sports as we are.
From professional athletes, to coaches, to college players trying to make it big, to the high school athlete trying to earn that scholarship, and everyone in between.
Whether you're a coach, player, or just a fan, we are here to have unique dialogue and perspectives on topics we have thought about, talked about, and are now excited to bring to you.
So be sure to stick around, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're using right now, and get ready to relax and take a water break. All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Water Break. And we're excited for another great episode. I know we're talking about us being excited for a lot of our episodes.
Has there been one episode we have not been excited about?
No, there hasn't been.
Because we plan them.
We write them, so we're excited. If we're not excited, it doesn't get produced.
Yeah,
so
we'll just throw it away before we even start it.
Yeah.
But this one is going to be a cool episode. We got one of our friends coming on the show today, and another guest, our fourth guest here. And I've enjoyed, you know, we enjoy our banter back and forth and our discussions and things, but it's fun to get another voice on here and just have a good time connecting with someone else on the show.
Yeah, I mean, You kind of say in our intro, which is cool. It's like we are getting people on the show who are involved and as passionate as we are about sports. So I think that's really cool what we're, you know, trying to do. And hopefully you keep listening to more episodes as we start to bring on more guests onto the show and as we continue to grow it and develop it. And
yeah,
stay with us, you faithful Water Break fans, as we grow and give more people a voice.
Yeah, Walt. You are the professional at giving intros, so why don't you intro our guest here?
I don't know if I'm the professional, but I'm assigned to it.
But you're better than me.
So I'm going to do it. It's a 50-50 chance.
That's right.
So our guest for today, we are thrilled to have him on. He played at Pierce College, Odessa College, and Vanguard University here in Orange County. He also plays in the Drew League. And
he's a standout.
Standout in the Drew League. He's a father of a newborn girl as well. And we're excited for our guest today. We've got Vito Evans joining us on the show. What's up, Vito?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Of course. And Vito, we've known you 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah, I think about is it? Oh, it's 2020. So yeah, four years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Vito started hooping with us. You got connected with Corey originally, or Raul, or?
Originally Corey, and then I got a friendship with Raul because he popped up at the gym, and then I just like randomly said, hey, do you play Fortnite? And then we just like been boys since, so.
Fortnite, that yeah. connected, that made a friendship yep. there.
I can't stand the game either. That's yeah. fucking love-hate relationship, but that's how it happened.
Yeah,
so that's why I've never really got. I've played it maybe like 4 times. But
I'm gonna be real. I've never played it.
Don't play it, man. Like it's especially because you're an athlete. You're gonna be competitive, so you're gonna want to be good at it.
Yeah.
And then it just takes so much of your time, and so, then you get in trouble with the wife. It's not worth it.
Not worth it at all. Okay. Well, then I'll stay away. I'll heed your advice there.
Call of Duty. That's the one right now.
But I'm sure you still get in trouble with the wife for playing that one too, huh?
No, so I play it in the morning before Bella wakes up, my daughter. My wife, she's not an essential worker, but for, I guess, Vanguard, she is.
Yeah.
So she still goes in
okay.
to work. So in the morning, I take my little time before Bella gets up, and I hop on Call of Duty with my friend Tez. He's in London, so it's nighttime for him.
Yeah.
So it's perfect.
There we go.
Yeah.
So Call of Duty is the game of choice right now.
Yep.
Well, what we like to do is just so our guests, so we can get to know you a little bit and our listeners can get to know you, we like to do some rapid fire questions.
All right.
So we're going to throw out some questions to you, and the first thing that comes to your mind, that's what we want to hear.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. First question, Denny's or IHOP?
Neither.
What?
Neither.
Nah, I don't like neither one.
I'm a Norm's guy.
Norms, I knew it. I knew it.
He's Costa Mesa.
Like, it's two blocks away from me, too, so.
Okay.
It's like $8 for a steak, eggs, and sausage, so. Yeah,
I'm I've had Norm's steak. It's is it real? Is it real?
Is it steak?
Cattle?
Does it qualify as steak?
Listen, I don't know. I'm still young, so I don't really care.
It tastes good.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
That's so funny.
That's interesting. Norm's. Favorite a winter Olympic sport?
I'll probably go with snowboarding.
Yeah, me too.
Just because I think that's the only one that I've done.
Okay.
So everything looks cool though, like Winter Olympics, like I like watching it.
Yeah.
But like I think snowboarding. Okay. A lot because of Johnny Tsunami, the Disney movie. So
yeah. I remember. Yeah. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah, that's
Johnny Tsunami.
That was my movie, man.
Let's see here. Would you rather have a house on the beach or a cabin in the woods?
House on the beach.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a woods guy. Went camping once, I'll never do it.
I'm coming to find out that most athletes are not cabin people.
Nah, I'm not a cabin guy at all. I don't even like the cold. Like, can't do it.
Here we go. Favorite athlete?
Of all time?
All time.
Well, so because growing up in LA, so it would have to be Kobe. Mm-hmm. And then it would be Derrick Rose.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are my two favorites right there.
Derrick Rose, a little bit of the resurgence, maybe sixth man of the year. He's in the running
right
now.
Yeah, he's in the running. He's not going to get it, though, because they're terrible. But
yeah, Lou will probably get it again. Yeah,
that's his award.
Yeah. Favorite sports movie?
Ooh. The first thing that comes to my mind is Coach Carter, but
okay. It's
probably not my favorite sports movie. I think it's just the first one that came to my head when I think of sports movies.
We both are Remember the Titans.
Yeah, Denzel. Yeah. That's my favorite actor. So, yeah, I'm going to go with. Yeah.
You're switching
go
over. With,
yeah, I'm going to switch over.
Coach Carter's a great movie, though.
It is. It's a great movie. But
the gym that they used to film that is in Long Beach.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Yeah, I played a high school game in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My
in Long Beach.
One of my assistant coaches was actually like in the movie for 20 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. Super we used to make fun of him and say, hey, did you get like a royalty check? Because it would always come on BET. So we'd be like, hey, did you get a check for it? We're hungry, man. This JUCO life isn't it.
Here we go. Favorite genre of music?
Hip-hop for sure. For sure, hip-hop.
Who's your artist? Who's your top artist?
You want me to give you top five, top three?
Top three.
Top three? So I'm gonna go with Jay-Z at number one. I've become a huge Chance the Rapper fan in the last like 3 years. So Chance is there for me. And then third can either be Kendrick or J. Cole, whichever one. Depends on the day.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're too emotional.
Yeah, it's not like you can. It's more so like if you got your phone on shuffle and one of their songs pop up, like okay, let me listen to one of them real quick.
Yeah. So you're a basketball player, but we want to know, between these two sports, football or baseball?
Football.
What's your team?
I don't have a team. I'm like, you know, like the new NBA fans are fans of players.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm a fan of football players.
Okay.
Yeah. So like growing up, I loved, Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
That was my guy.
Greatest show on turf.
And then Michael Vick, cause my name's Victor.
Okay. Yeah,
so my family, like my dad's side of the family, calls me Lil Vic, and just because his last name, I kind of gravitated towards him, and then I realized how amazing he was.
Oh yeah.
So I was had the Atlanta Hawks hat, stuff like that. So
football. All right, here we go. When you're watching a movie, do you prefer comedy or thriller?
Probably a thriller. There's less talking in thrillers. Because I don't like when people talk, like, during movies.
It's too wordy.
Yeah, so, like, in thrillers, like, everybody's kind of just glued, trying to see what's next. In comedies, people comment on, like...
They're all repeating all the funny parts and things.
Yeah, so I think thrillers, just off the fact I don't like talking during movies.
What are some of your favorites?
Thrillers?
Like for me, I think the most recent one that I really love is A Quiet Place. Yeah. I don't know if that's like
a thriller. I haven't watched it.
You never seen it?
Oh, you got to see Quiet Place.
Oh, you got to check it out.
I just seen a movie recently that actually scared me. I'm a grown man, so I shouldn't really be getting scared of movies anymore, but it was Would You Rather.
I heard about that. I didn't see it.
That movie is sick. Like it's like Saw, but worse to me. Like it's way worse than Saw.
Yeah. Yeesh. Nah.
It's oh my god.
I'm gonna stick to the comedy.
I don't think
you gotta check out A Quiet Place though.
I'm gonna check it out for sure.
That's it. That's a good one.
And the second one was supposed to come out, but because of quarantine,
they pushed it back to next year. I think.
Yeah, the first one's really good.
John Krasinski. To Prime, man. That's what a lot of people are doing. Just releasing the movies to Prime.
Yeah.
They've been killing my pockets, man. Prime, Prime's got me right now.
They got you right where they want you.
Man.
All right, last question here. Between these two action stars, Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, Stallone, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Big Rocky guy?
Yeah, love Rocky. And then with Creed coming out and stuff like that. I love Rambo, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I used to watch Rambo with my dad all the time. So
you're not a Terminator guy?
Not really. So neither one of them are the greatest of, like, actors.
Yeah.
But Arnold is bad.
Like, yeah, he's real bad.
Like, I can't follow. Yeah, the dialogue with him is just
they're both hard to understand.
Yeah, they are, but yeah, I go with Stallone for sure.
There we go. Well, those you can't really go right or wrong with any of those. They're just based on your opinions.
Exactly.
Well, Vito, we do this just to kind of get to know you, and then what we want to move into next is just a little bit of background, just so our listeners know. Me and T, we've known you for a while, like we said, but just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your family dynamic, how you grew up, and then kind of what led you into playing basketball.
So I'll start with the first one first. With the last one first. What led me to basketball is my grandfather, my pop-pop, that's what we call him. He played growing up. He's originally from Akron. He still has, I think, the rebounding record at Akron University.
Really?
So, yeah, he could really play. He was same height, same build as me, everything. He's, like, really well-known. He's in the Hall of Fame out there. So that's how I picked up a basketball. That's how me and my two other cousins who play as well, we all just looked up to him. So that's how basketball started. Well, my granny, she'll say that it was her, like, because she says she put the ball in my hand. But I continued to play, I think, because I looked up to my pop-pop so much.
Yeah.
I was born in Inglewood, moved to Ohio when I was 2, came back when I was 5. And then we lived in South Central up until I was 11, moved to the Valley, then moved back to Ohio for a little bit, then came back to the Valley, and then I moved with my biological dad my senior year in high school in San Bernardino. And then I was in Texas for a little bit for school, and then now I'm out here in Orange County, and I'm hoping to stay here until forever.
When you move that much, it's nice to just be like planted somewhere.
Yeah, now. Just having a nice place just to enjoy my family, watch my daughter grow up. Like, I think there's no better place than out here. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can't beat the weather, the
year round. It's just beautiful.
Here. Yeah.
Every day on my Instagram, like, if you look at my story, I'm always taking a boomerang of the palm trees. That's my favorite thing in the world. Like, I love seeing palm trees.
Never get old of palm trees, huh?
I go down PCH just to drive sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Get that ocean breeze.
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful for sure.
And then what else did you guys ask?
I think you got it there.
All right. Sounds good.
We covered it all there. Just getting a little background about you and stuff.
Yeah. So you played basketball. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to two high schools. I went to Cleveland High School for 3 years. Cleveland High School is in San Fernando Valley, Reseda. That's where Nick Young went to, actually. He made Cleveland like on the map for a little bit. Our rival was Taft. We used to get our butt kicked by Taft all the time. And then my senior year, I went to San Bernardino High School.
Okay.
Yeah. Cleveland was the most fun, though, because we were winning a lot of games. We went to City. I got to play against Kawhi Leonard in state playoffs.
Really?
Not just Kawhi, though. A lot of people don't know Tony Snell was on that team as well.
Really?
Yeah, it was a scary team. We got blown out by like 30.
Wow.
First round.
Did you have to guard him?
No. I was on crutches.
Oh, okay.
I fractured my ankle right before playoffs. But when I tell you Kawhi Leonard was the same person then, he had the quietest 30 points I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Like, all the Tony Snell's buckets were loud because it's all threes, just... And then Kawhi was just quietly just... like killing us. Yeah. It was awesome to see, like, just being there, having that experience that young.
Like, did you know, like, this is getting off topic, but we like to do that sometimes. Did you know in that moment, like, this guy's going to the league?
Our coach told us before, like, during the scouting report, like, he said this kid's gonna go to the NBA for sure. He gave him such high praise, and my coach, Coach Knowles, like, he doesn't really give people praise.
Yeah.
Like he downplays a lot of guys.
Yeah.
So when you he knew said, in that moment. Yeah, when he said he's going to the NBA, I knew it was something serious. And he said he'll get there just off his defense alone.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, when you played, did you play AAU basketball growing up?
Never played AAU.
Really?
Never played AAU.
That's crazy to hear.
I know.
Especially nowadays, like, yeah. You know.
And you're not that old. What are you, 26?
27.
27.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, typically, the percent. I mean, they keep going up every year, but now the percentage of players that play AAU that are now coming to the league now, mm-hmm. I think when we looked up T last year, I think there was a couple European players, but no players in the United States that came into that got drafted last year that did not play AAU basketball.
Yeah, I never played. All my friends played, but my mom, she was single. Like, once I got to the age of, like, that I wanted to and I knew what it was, my mom couldn't afford to put me on the team.
Mm.
So I would go to the park, watch YouTube, try to figure stuff out.
Were there a lot of kids like that, you know, in the same situations? Because we've had...
I was the only kid that I knew that wasn't playing.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to play one year with, I think it was the Cavs out in the Valley, and I forgot what happened.
Do you think that helped your growth as a basketball player, because it motivated you more, or do you think it hurt?
I think it helped only for the fact I never became an undisciplined player, because a lot of, like, AAU will make you, you know, just kind of look out for yourself and just kind of play isolation basketball. So I think it helped, and then I think it also hurt because I wasn't able to be seen too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of most recruitment comes from AAU.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a lot of coaches just looking online and like, oh, he has pretty good stats, let me go look at him. That's not really how it goes. Like, everybody in the summer, they have the most time to go out. So I think it helped. I think it helped my game, and then it kind of hurt with people not knowing who I am.
Mm.
Yes.
So you, we said earlier that you played at three colleges.
Three.
You know, what led you to, you know, Pierce? How'd you get to Pierce College?
So Pierce, how did I get to Pierce? So after I graduated high school, I was originally going to go to San Bernardino College. But then one day going to visit my mom, I got into a really bad car accident. This is right after I graduated, the summer after I graduated. I got into a bad car accident, and my mom, I ended up going with my mom after I got out the hospital. So the car accident was so bad. The door was dented in. I think they said, like, over 2 feet. And even when the cop came to ask me, like, what happened, like, he looked at me because I was sitting up. Like, I wasn't, like too banged up bad. So I was sitting up. I was able to talk to him. He was just kind of looking at me like he was shocked that I wasn't, you know, in worse condition. Like, my god sister, her car was totaled, stuff like that. But I got to Pierce because I moved with my mom because my mom wanted to take care of me while I was doing, like, physical therapy and stuff like that. So I moved with my mom. I was in the Valley again, and I went to Cleveland versus Taft. Right back to the Cleveland Taft. I went to the Cleveland versus Taft game. I'm sitting in the stands, and the assistant coach at Pierce used to be the Van Nuys High School head coach, and I killed them. And he, like, recognized me, and he was like, "Hey, man, how you been? You remember me?" I said, "Yeah, I remember you, Chuck," because his name's Coach Charles. But at that time, I just called him Chuck mostly because I was 18 years old and I thought I was grown. So I was like, I'm going to call this guy Chuck.
You're not my coach.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I remember you, Chuck. And he was like, man, like everybody was wondering what happened to you. Kind of, you transferred out of nowhere. We thought you were, you know, like you were going to be one of the guys getting recruited throughout the Valley. We were excited. And I was like, yeah, I ended up moving with my dad, stuff like that. Just told him what was going on. He said, what are you doing now? I said, I'm out here in the Valley. I just kind of started playing basketball again at this point. And he invited me out to Open Gym. Went to Open Gym. He said, hey, man, just off this alone, you'll get 20 minutes. He said, you come here, you'll get 20 minutes off the bat. Wow. I was like, say less. I'm here. It was walking distance from my mom's house, too.
Okay.
So it was a no-brainer for me.
The perfect scenario, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you played at another college in Texas, went out to Texas. But then you came out to Vanguard. And you played Vanguard 2 years?
I only got to play one.
1 year.
Yeah, I got hurt. I got hurt the first year. I had a high ankle sprain that summer, like probably 2 weeks before I was going to Vanguard. I was at my little cousin's birthday party, and I was just, you know, shooting around with them, playing around with them. I went to shoot. One of the kids tried to, like, jump at me, and, like, he fell, and I landed on his leg, and my ankle just turned. So I had a high ankle sprain. And high ankle sprains, I didn't know at that time. So when the doctor told me it was sprained, I'm thinking, okay, it's a couple weeks.
Yeah.
High ankle sprains are like the same like amount of time to recover from as a fracture.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I'm thinking I was good. And I'm looking at the paper and they're saying like two and a half months. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So that happens. And then literally the 2 days after I get cleared to play and practice and stuff, I get a high ankle sprain again.
No.
So I was, my coach told me, like, yeah, we're just going to sit you out, man. So
you played your final year at Vanguard. What was that experience like?
It was bittersweet, man, because it was still considered my junior year. And I put in so much work over that summer. And I was just super dedicated. I put on too much weight of muscle. I think I was 211 at one point. Mm. And, like, right now I'm 200. Like, walking around, I'm 200. So I put on way too much weight and it started getting at my knees. So I got tendonitis. I missed all the conditioning. And so that kind of hurt me as far as being the leader of the team, just because my face isn't there. I'm not going through the grind with them.
Yeah.
So for me, it hurt. And then I think for a lot of my teammates, it kind of hurt them as well, because I was put into starting lineup still, like, right away.
Yeah.
So, but the season started off well. I think we were like 12-0 to start. Mm. I was playing pretty good. The whole team was playing good. And then the weirdest thing in the world happened. So I dropped my stats class 3 weeks in, because I told coach, I was like, look, I have a C in this class already. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have a full course load and pass this class.
Yeah.
So I talked to my coach. He said, okay, talk to your advisor, see what he says. So I talked to my academic advisor. And then he says, yeah, you're good. As long as your coaches are fine with it, you can drop it and you'll be fine. So then my coaches talk to the heads of eligibility. Everybody's clearing it. Everybody's like, yeah, you're good. So what messed me up is I dropped it. I was still in 12 units, but one of the classes that I was in was a retake.
Mm.
So it didn't technically count as 3 units. So now it looks like I'm playing illegally. So all of our games that I played in that season up to that point were DQs. All my stats, only mine, went to zero. Like, so all my stats went to zero.
Really?
And then my coach was like, hey, man, you know, I think we'll be able to appeal it. So we tried to appeal it. I got a written letter from my advisor. All my coaches wrote a letter. The head of eligibility, he wrote a letter saying, hey, He did the right thing. He came and he talked to us before he dropped his class, and we kind of just dropped the ball. Don't punish him for it, because they were going to make me lose my senior year.
Yeah.
So my coach was like, so what you can do is you can continue to play, or you can wait for the appeal to go through and then play once the appeal's through, once you get cleared. So I was like, I'm going to wait. But when I waited, we went on like a losing streak, like a, I think, 4-game losing streak. Something like that. And this is leading up to conference. We're about to go into conference.
Yeah.
So I tell my coach, I was like, hey, I'm playing. Like, I didn't want to let the guys down. I'd already not played the year before. We already have an uphill climb to go because all these games got DQ'd. And, you know, I wanted to make playoffs. Like, that was my whole thing, was making the tournament.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm playing. So we get back, we start winning games again. And then literally we go into double overtime, I think, with Arizona Christian. It was a great game, like a back and forth. Crowd was into it, and we end up losing. So now Arizona Christian's a game ahead of us. We luckily Arizona Christian loses their next game, so we're playing Masters College, last game of conference. We win. We're in the conference tournament. First play of the game, I dislocate my index finger on my right hand. So it's my shooting finger.
Yeah, yeah.
I dislocate it. The trainer pops it back in. He wraps it. I can't make anything. Like, that's why, like, I was telling my little cousin the other day, I was like, listen, I don't know if you ever got a chance to see Kobe's hands, but he dislocated his fingers millions of times, it seems like. He was able to play through it. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Because that was like excruciating pain every time Mamba I dribbled. Mentality. Yeah, like, he was different, man.
Yeah.
So that last game, I only had like 7 points. We ended up losing probably by like 9 or something like that. Mm. And it was just, so it was bittersweet because I loved the guys that I played with. I absolutely loved them. But then it was bitter because, like, I felt like I let them down. Mm. Even though, like, literally it was out of my control. I talked to everybody.
Yeah.
And then in like February, I get the news that my appeal doesn't even go through. So now I've lost my senior year too.
Mm.
And then I didn't let it get me down though. I got married 2 weeks. I mean, I got engaged 2 weeks later. So
you do not.
Yeah, I brushed it off, man. But that last year at Vanguard, I loved the guys I played with, but it just,
yeah,
it was a weird ending, man.
No.
Very weird ending to college basketball.
Man. What a journey for sure.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of on this new journey of life after college basketball.
Yes.
And basketball's not really over for you. It's still very much a huge part of your life.
It's still alive, man. It's still very, very much alive.
When did you realize that, at what point you were in college, did you realize, I want life after basketball to, or life after college to still revolve around basketball?
So after my freshman year, I realized that how much, so I put in a lot of work just getting back from the accident. I put in a lot of work just getting back, and I came, once I was back, I was way better than I was in high school. I never had a 20-point game in high school. I averaged 17 my freshman year. So I put in a lot of work, and just seeing all that hard work pay off, it made me realize, like, not even the, like, even if I don't make it to the NBA or make it overseas, that I have something that I can to give to somebody else. I have a story. I have, I can tell somebody how to make that jump of, you know, like, from being an average player to being, I was top 100 in the country my freshman year. So I know what it takes.
Yeah.
It takes one summer. I tell people that all the time. It's one summer. Hmm. One summer of just dedicating yourself. So once that happened, I knew, like, I would either be playing, training, coaching, something, because I realized, one, how much I loved it. I thought I was done with basketball after my accident. I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to get a job, go to school, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I realized sitting there watching TV, the only thing I wanted to watch was basketball. The only thing I cared about was basketball at that point, because I'm 17 years old. So, yeah, like, I realized then, like, after my freshman year, I was like, yeah, this is it. Wherever this journey takes me, I know that life will be, you know, basketball for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had, you know, one of our last guests on, Caitlin, we were talking to her about how, like, she played, you know, college sports, but then is continuing to pursue her passion, you know, after that. And it seems like with a lot of, you know, athletes who either play at a small school or, you know, just, you know, still trying to get to that next level, it's almost like, I've got this far. Like, why am I going to, you know, just give it up?
At that point, it was just kind of be like, I did this for nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So I can't, whether it's like, even right now, like I play, I train, and well, before COVID, I was training and coaching. But
yeah.
So, like, I love it. It's just that simple. I love the game of basketball. I love that basketball could teach you how to, you know, deal with life. Like, you can apply things you do with basketball into life. So
yeah,
everything about it, I just love.
So many great life lessons,
man, for real.
And we'll talk a little bit about in a few minutes here about coaching and training and stuff, T. But I kind of want to move into life after college, and now you're still continuing to play. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's pickup ball, which every basketball player plays constantly, trying to find some good runs and things like that. But specifically, you're playing in the Drew League, something we mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
and then you've played in a few other leagues. Tell us a little bit about your experiences in the Drew League, maybe kind of how you got put on a team and how that all kind of worked out, how you got looked at and stuff like that.
Okay, so the Drew League happened because I was playing in this league called the JBL. The JBL is a league in Hollywood. Same thing, it's a pro-am, but no NBA players really play in it. Some overseas guys do. It's really for college, junior college guys. So my first year playing in it, I was an MVP candidate.
Mm.
So I had a really good year, first year playing. This is still all in the timeline of like my freshman year in college.
Okay.
So this is spring after my freshman year. I'm playing, doing well, and what team did I play for first? Oh, I played for Jug Life. Jug Life is JaVale McGee's team.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was either Jug Life or the Jaguars. The Jaguars, I knew I was going to play because mm-hmm. they weren't that good. But Jug Life, I was like, oh, let me get around the NBA guy. But he never came to any of the games. Like, it was just his team. Yeah. So, but it was cool. So that's how I got on with the Drew League. And then I've played for two other teams now. Played for the Closers, which was coached by Wally. If anybody, you know, from the Drew League is listening to this, everybody knows Wally. Mm-hmm. Wally's the guy with the platinum tooth, laid down hair, like straight gray hair. It's just, everybody knows Wally. Talks the most, the absolute most. He's very hard to play for if you haven't played for a coach like that. Like, we're in a close game, and I got fouled. I'm walking to the free throw line, and he goes, "Vic, if you miss this free throw, if you miss this free throw, you'll never play for me again." Like, and like while I'm walking to the free throw line, like the Drew League is packed. This is like when the NBA players are allowed to play now, so it's never like a game that's not packed. So yeah. I'm just like, "What? This guy's crazy. Like, why would you say that?" I ended up making them.
I was gonna say, you see
but,
it? Yeah.
But like,
talking about pressure.
Man, that was wild. And then now I play for the Pandas with Meta World Peace, aka Ron Artest. So,
yeah.
What
are who are some of the biggest names that you've played with or against, and maybe even guarded?
Okay, so my first game in the Drew League was against the game's team, the rapper The Game.
Really?
So he had Frank Nitti. Ron was on his team at this time. So this is 2012, 2013 or something like that. Ron was on his team.
Frank Nitti is, just so people who aren't aware of
Franklin Sessions.
Of the Drew League. He's been two-time MVP, three-time?
Three-time, two-time by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he won it once. It was a co-MVP.
Okay.
And then he was Defense Player of the Year last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he's a legend. Stud. And I've seen him play here in our gym before. He's come out. Yeah. Frank
can go, man. He can go.
I don't know how he's not in the league. That's my question. How did he
score first?
Yeah.
6'1 point guard.
Yeah.
And at that time, like when he first started getting his name, he wasn't that great of a shooter.
Okay.
Now he can shoot it.
Yeah.
He can really shoot it now. Like, his game has elevated a lot since, like, he's become him. Like, his game's elevated.
There's a clip of him playing against Denzel Valentine.
Oh,
have you seen
God.
That clip?
Denzel Valentine has not been the same
How
since.
Is this dude in the league? How is this dude in the league? He's yelling at a bunch of guys on the sideline. They're all the
NBA
players.
It was a bunch of NBA players
I'm pretty sure it was DeMar DeRozan on the sideline laughing. He's in the league. How is this dude in the league?
Man, that, man.
Poor Denzel Valentine.
Yeah,
poor guy.
Literally, he's never been the same since. Like, yeah. I've never seen a good Denzel Valentine highlight since then.
Sorry to throw you off track. I know you.
It's all right. No, I remember that day vividly. I was there. Like it was crazy. Like, and it was Denzel's fault. He started talking first. Like, so it was just, whew. Yeah, that
when you're
was
in
crazy.
The league, you can't do that. Get burnt by someone who's not in the league.
Yeah.
Now you have we haven't heard the story, but before you were telling us a little bit about an experience of you balling out with the Ball Brothers or against them. Tell us a little bit of that.
Okay, so Lonzo and Jello, they were on my team with Wally for the closers. This team was stacked, by the way. This it was Lonzo, Jello, had like two guys from LMU, Chimezie Mutu, who's on the Spurs now. He went to SC, and then Benny Boatwright, who's I think he has a two-way contract with the Pistons, who also went to SC. I think he's got like the all-time made threes for USC. Mm. So we had a stacked team. It was a really good team. This is Lonzo's year, I think, going into his senior year. But it wasn't at the Drew League that the story starts. It was at the Nike Real Run. The Nike Real Run is like basically for college players. Mm-hmm. So we're at the game. We're at the Nike Real Run. And the team we're playing, they only had, I think, five players. Like, their players, like, three of their players couldn't show up. And we have our guys, and they're just looking for one other player so that they can have a sub. So they asked some kid, some guy, if he could play. And then all of a sudden, LeVar goes, "Let my youngest boy play. He's a ball boy. You know he can play. Let my boy play." Melo is like 13 at the time. Super, like 5'8", 5'9", maybe. Yeah. Like, this was before the growth spurt. And eventually the guy, he lets him play. He was like, "All right, cool. Like, we need one." And they had their main guys there, so they weren't too worried. They just wanted to make sure that they can, you know, sub in
they
and
need
out.
To sub, yeah.
Yeah. So we get to playing. We're winning. We're probably up like 9 points. And then Melo subs into the game. This little 13-year-old kid subs into the game. And he hits a three from the volleyball line. First play in the game, he hits a three from the volleyball line.
Just coming in cold.
Yeah, first play. He didn't get to even warm up, like, in layup lines. Because they were like, they didn't know their players weren't going to make it to probably to, like, 2 minutes on the clock, like, until the game tipped off. So he didn't get to warm up anything. First thing, he shoots a three from the volleyball line. Of course, no one's guarding him. Because he's 13, but he doesn't even look 13. He looks like 11. Like, he's really small. So he hits a three, boom. And then just as the game goes on, he's hitting everything. He's still, like, you know how everybody was amazed by his free throw line floaters? He was doing that then.
Wow.
Like, and he ended up having, like, 35 against us.
No way.
This 13, I kid you not. If it didn't happen, like, I would, like, I told a few people this story. Like, he had 35 against us. They ended up winning. They took a picture and everything after. I don't know where it's at. I don't know who took it and, like, who reported it. But 13 years old, had 35 on us. I guarded him one play. Wally, again, was cursing up a storm the whole game, yelling. And
if you let that boy shoot.
Man. So I was really guarding him. And then he just does this, like, weird step back into, like, a really bad fadeaway. And then the ref is caught up into the game. So he does his fadeaway leg out, and he kicks me, and the ref calls a foul on me. And I'm just looking like, what? And then Melo gets up off the ground. He says, "Hey, man, sorry." And then gets to the free throw line, knocks his free throws down. But, like, yeah, that was the story, like, with the Ball Boys, man.
That's so funny. Yeah. LeVar making it happen.
LeVar made it happen. Talked him into it.
Hey, he's been good for him.
Yeah.
What do you think? Not that this isn't really on topic, but do you think LaMelo will end up being better than Lonzo in the NBA?
if he figures out his jump shot for it to be more consistent, I think he will. Because I knew Lonzo was gonna figure his jump shot out. Like Melo, like I've never seen him be a consistent shooter. Like, because you know everything's been, you know, documented for him.
Yeah.
So I've never seen him like be that knockdown shooter. And so I think if he can become, because of how the NBA is, like you have to be able to shoot a three.
Yeah.
So if he could become a more consistent shooter, because that whatever 20-something percent he shot is not going to do in the NBA, I think he will be. Because just like Lonzo, he can see the floor amazing. Like his vision is amazing. He's really 6'8". I played against him last summer in the Drew. He's
really
like, he's a legit 6'8". Arms go down to his elbows. Like he's
really
like he's a big point guard. But I think he has a chance to. I think he will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did you have to guard him just this past summer or no?
I don't think I ever like switched on to him.
You didn't switch on to him.
Yeah, because like in the Drew, like I guard a lot of different positions. But for some reason in that game, I never switched on to him.
Hmm.
I can't. I have the game on my phone. I have all the games, and even when I watched it back, I don't think I ever switched on to him once.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There we go. There's our Drew League experience.
Yeah. What's what's it like rubbing shoulders with a guy like, you know, Metal World Peace or?
Rubbing shoulders on the court or off the court?
Both.
So, on the court, I tell everybody this is. He's probably the strongest person in the world. Like,
James Harden's head, back of his head, he messed him up on that one play.
I talked to him about it too, and he was like, "He didn't. He did."
Hey, listen right now. He's a Laker. He had a reason for doing it. There was a reason.
So he said he threw the elbow purposely, right?
Yeah.
But he was going for his chest.
Mm-hmm.
He said James leaned in with his head, and that's how he connected with his head.
Teach him a lesson.
He was just like, I was trying to just check him real quick.
Yeah.
But he leaned in. He was like, I didn't think he was going to keep leaning in. And that's he so decked funny. Him.
Do they still have beef over it or not?
I don't think so. They see each other every summer. Like, James plays in the Drew.
Meta, oh, does he? Okay. Yeah.
Like, Meta's music gets played in the Drew and everything. Like, they love him up there. So
that's cool.
I don't think they have beef.
Who's the... Who's the biggest name you've played against in the Drew League?
It would have to be James, you know, because just being an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
You know, that has to be the biggest name. I wasn't playing in the Drew at the time when Kobe went and when LeBron was there for the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it would have to be James for sure.
He's had some pretty cool moments in the Drew
League. Yeah, James is no joke. He's...
Did and you switch on to him at all?
I got to guard him.
Yeah.
And he really knows how to like to bait you into fouling him. Like it's not even him flopping. Like he really just kind of baits you and like he shows you the ball.
Yeah.
And he's like, come get it. And you can't, even if you hit the ball and not him, he's really strong.
Yeah.
So you can't hit it out of his hands. And then he catches your arms and just flares up.
He's so deceivingly fast too.
Oh man! So
he doesn't look it, but he's always a step ahead of everyone.
Yeah. So I stole a move from him recently. Like he'll go between cross, and then do it quick, and then he's by you. So like he'll just slow, boom, 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 and he's gone. And I was like, that is a really amazing move. It just lures you to sleep almost.
Yeah.
And then he's just gone. It doesn't look like he's moving fast out there, but he strides. Like, for your two steps, he's taking one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I was going to say, it's got to be his first step, too. He gets off quick. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are different, man. Just because, like, everybody tells me that I'm a freak athlete, but they're 4 inches taller than me doing the same thing.
It's just another
thing. It's weird. Yeah. Watch them on TV, and it's 6'8 on a TV doesn't man. Seem 6'8.
We've had some guys, you know, in the gym here come and play.
Yeah.
And when you see professional athletes, I mean, even Corey at his age, you know, being 40.
Corey looked like that when he was in high school, though. Like, he's just built different than most people. Like,
yeah.
He was always cut up.
I've seen you go up against him before.
Oh, I love it.
You don't back down against anyone.
No, I don't.
He doesn't back down against anyone. I've seen you go
Yeah.
You go toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, I love going at Corey. People don't know, but Corey's like super competitive. He talks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He talks so much. The funniest, this dude shot it over me and said, uh-oh, Maggettios. I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
Oh, I hope, man. Corey listens to this episode. God. So
oh,
bad.
We got to ask him about that.
We got to get him on, and then we got to ask him about Maggettios. Did he make it, though?
Yeah, he made
it.
But still, I go at him, though. Like whenever, like, the NBA guys come in, I want to guard them every time.
Yeah.
I even, like, when Frank comes in, Frank picks me up now, though, on his team. But I love guarding Frank because he's just super quick, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to guard Frank.
Makes you better.
Yeah. And then he'll dribble in the same spot for, like, 10 seconds straight.
Yeah.
So, like, you're really playing. If you're guarding Frank, you're playing real defense the entire time. Or just give it up and let him go by you. Because it's tough, and it's even when he's dribbling, it doesn't even seem like he's dribbling a hole in the ground. It's just, it's effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, you know, you going to the Drew League, and, you know, you jumping, you know, going to different colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, like, what's the difference between the grind in college and then the grind just after college and trying to continue to move up?
The grind in college is harder. If you're at a university, I believe it's a lot harder because you really do have to focus on school.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife, she used to tell me when we were in school that I had it easy because, you know, we would miss class, stuff like that. And I had to tell her, I was like, we have to still do that same. We have to do that work. We have to turn that work in.
Yeah.
Like we don't, you know, it's difficult. Like people think that because we're not in class, we're excused from certain stuff. Everything on that syllabus we have to do. And if you're so in college, if you want to be one of the best players in college, just practicing, you're not going to be one of the best players at college. You have to put that extra work in. So along with having schoolwork, having practice, putting that extra work in, making sure your body doesn't shut down. So you're going to the training room and spending at least an hour in there just doing certain things. The grind in college to me was a lot harder. Like, now that I'm out of college, it's easy for me because I can just, you know, I can just go work out late if I need to.
Yeah, you can just go play ball.
Yeah, man. Exactly. All I got to do is just stay in shape, run, stuff like that. And then, you know, I get my drills in, I do stuff like that. But I don't have anything else that I have to worry about besides, you know, providing for my family and stuff like that. But, you know, we're in a dual, a double income home, so we're fine.
Yeah,
you know, so we're not really worried about anything. In college, you're worried about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah, I mean, speaking,
you're broke in college too, so
and speaking of your family too, like, what is, you know, what is that like? You got a little baby girl, like, mm-hmm. you know, training and preparing as well as, you know, being
yeah.
there for her too.
I can't wait till she gets older because she's attached at my hip. So once I leave, she's crying for like 10 minutes because fortunately my sister's been here this summer. So
mm-hmm.
she's been able to help a lot, but she'll tell me like, yeah, she just wouldn't stop crying. But it's hard. It's harder now with my daughter because she's on my mind all the time. So yeah. even when I'm playing, like I'm wondering what she's doing. I'm calling in. Like when I get a water break, that's really like a break to text my wife and say, hey, how you guys doing? You guys good? Blah, blah, blah. So it's definitely harder now. I haven't told a lot of people, but I signed a contract to go to Belize, and it's a 5-month league, and I've been thinking about that a lot, like how I'm going to, you know, be able to be out there and my wife and daughter out here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to me it's a lot harder to focus on basketball, like individually, like for myself, but training kids is easy, like stuff like that. Anything around basketball besides like me doing it for myself is easy.
Yeah,
but like just focusing on me and me getting better, like right now my jump shot is broke right now. Oh man, I played yesterday, and just to feel anything that wasn't a mid-range just didn't even feel good. Even if it went in, it didn't feel good. So but I know I gotta lock in. But yeah, it's difficult right now.
Yeah,
it's a little difficult.
Talk about the, you know, you right now are in this stage of you're playing, your coaching, and your training. You're kind of doing all of that. What are the differences there, and what is kind of your preference right now? What do you enjoy most?
Oh, training. Training kids.
So more player development stuff?
Yeah, that's my favorite. A lot of it has – I like coaching, but when you're doing player development, you don't have to deal with the parents as much and, like, stuff like that. So you're focusing on getting, you know, them better. Like, when you're coaching, you know, the parents are worried, like, why isn't my kid playing? And the parents are telling the kid to do something, and you're telling the kid to do the opposite. So, coaching can get frustrating just because of the parents. But I absolutely love doing player development.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, when you can teach what you've learned and what you've developed, and then it just clicks with the player.
Seeing that progress is just so different. It's a different feeling.
It's rewarding.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I told my kid Max that I have. He's about to be a sophomore. I had to just totally break his – completely start his jump shot over. He used to shoot with two hands, stuff like that. But he worked so hard. So I've seen a drastic improvement in the month that I've been working with him. And I told him, I was like, hey, man, like, I'm proud of you, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. I was worried. Like, I didn't know, like, if I was going to be able to help you, like, too much. But you've made such a jump from skill level that I was just super proud of him. I texted his mom. I was like, hey, like, you're raising a really good kid. Like, he's a hard worker. He's, like, whatever he wants to do, like, he's going to be good at it just because he has that work ethic.
Yeah.
So, like, but player development, I think that's my favorite, just seeing the growth in kids.
Do you get a lot of kids who try to come and think they can take a shortcut with it and try to?
Yeah, like the kid I was training today, Brandon, he's a really cool kid. Like, I've known him now for 2 years. I started doing personal training with him because of this company I work with, 101 Basketball, to where basically it's an after-school program with basketball. Mm-hmm. So I met him. He's always been a cool kid, funny kid. And doing personal training with him, I didn't realize that he has a lot of self-doubt in what he can do. Like, he'll start, like, breaking down, like, oh, I can't do it. But then he won't take stuff serious because he can do it. So it's like, that stuff is hard.
Yeah.
But I just make him run. When in doubt, you run.
That's right. Yeah. But it's like that sense of fulfillment when you get through to that kid that's struggling.
Yeah,
that.
Like today, he had a great day today.
Yeah.
Amazing day. Like his mom asked me, he was like, so how'd he do today? I said, you only have to run once. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah, it was an amazing day today.
It was a big step.
Yeah, it was a huge step. And he only ran because he airballed the layup. So it was a great day for him today. So he's making progress.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Well, in basketball, as you're going through, if you're a passionate athlete, it's a lot about making it to the next level and getting to the next level. What is some advice and some lessons that you've been given, some advice maybe given that you would give to someone else that would help them on their journey to get to the next level?
Just stay prepared. My pop-pop used to tell me it's better to be prepared for an opportunity than have an opportunity and not be prepared. So that's my biggest advice, is just stay ready, man. Like, because you don't know when you're going to have, you know, that point to where people, like, recognize how good you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was a journey for me. And then, so I tell people all the time, if it can happen for me, I know it can happen for you. Because I was at a disadvantage from the jump, just not playing AAU, being off the radar for a year after I graduated because of the accident. So I was like, you guys can do it. Just stay prepared. Put the work in. Nobody has to know you're putting in the work. Just do it. Yeah. That's it.
As long as you stay ready, you don't got to get ready.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When the opportunity comes.
So as we kind of wrap up the show, you know, you've been talking about, you know, growing and getting better into the next level. And a lot of guys look at it like, oh, I got to get better at shooting. I got to get better at dribbling. I got to get stronger. I got to get quicker. And they think about the athleticism or the skill set. But how important is mindset and mentality? Because I feel like that's a part of
So the most important part of basketball is just being tough mentally. You got to always have to have like a next play mentality. That's what I tell my kids all the time. Next play. I don't care if you miss. The next one. Mm-hmm. Just worry about the next one. And then just if you want to be good, you got to study the game. Like, it's that easy. Like, just study the game. Like, you have to have a high IQ with basketball.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to read things. The biggest thing I tell my kids now is stop trying to dribble so much. Like, if you get a rebound, look up the court. If you see somebody running in their head, lead them to the basket.
Yeah.
I'd rather throw a pass from the key to the other side of the court than have to run all the way back on offense just to get back on defense. I'd rather not have to pass half court. And this little things like that, like if you realize getting your teammates involved is going to allow you to get more points because now they're returning the favor and now the defense thinks you're going to be passing the ball more. Like, this stuff, like this mentally just being ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. So
that's it. That to me, the mental aspect is way more important than the physical.
Yeah. Well, as we do with all of our guests, give them a chance to, you know, plug whatever they got going on. So tell listeners what you got going on, where they can find you, how they can get some of your training.
All right. So I'm very easy to reach. My social media is probably the best thing to do. My Instagram is at Vito Evans, VitoEvans. I don't really have too much to promote besides my cousin's nonprofit organization, Britty Cares. It helps kids going through cancer. They do room makeovers, things like that, because kids that have cancer, they can't really leave their room too much. Mm. So what we do is we come and we do room makeovers, things like that, just to really fit their personality so that they can enjoy where they're at.
That's
so
super cool.
Yeah. So yeah, Britty Cares International. You can find them on Instagram, Facebook, things like that.
There we go. And if you're looking for a quick training session here in Orange County.
Oh, yeah. Let me know, man.
Hit a Vito on Instagram.
Well, hit Vito, my DM.
Seriously, man. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a joy to have you.
Yeah, I loved it. This is cool, man. Keep it up.
Yes, sir.
This is dope.
Having a great time just giving people an outlet and having some great conversations. So beautiful. Well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Water Break.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Water Break. New episodes are released every Monday, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button to be notified when a new episode is available.
As you continue to listen to the podcast, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give feedback on the show, or you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send an email to waterbreakpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's waterbreakpod@gmail.com.
We'll see you on the next episode of Water Break. Stay hydrated.